festival of St. Luke is written in Isaiah chapter 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 2 Timothy chapter 4. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in the love of this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, 2 by 2, in every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be unto this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the festival of St. Luke the Evangelist is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Know your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That ends the reading of the lectionary. In verses 10 through 12, Jesus continues, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you, that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Thus far the text. Please be seated. Now one would think that the proclamation of peace, that the good news that the kingdom of God has come near to you, would be universally welcomed with great joy. But it isn't. John the Baptist was beheaded for preaching Christ's kingdom of God's peace. The Lord himself was crucified for preaching his kingdom of peace. And St. Luke, named an evangelist for his writing of the gospel, was himself persecuted for the peace that Christ brings. Tradition has Luke being one of the 72 that was sent out by Christ, which is most likely why this text was chosen as the reading for this festival day. St. Luke repeatedly suffered for the faith with St. Paul. For indeed, as the epistle made clear, Paul wrote, Luke alone is with me. Even as many abandoned Paul in his own suffering, the suffering from preaching the kingdom of peace. So in spite of this peace, this good news that the church has been placing before the world for 2 millennia, this gospel is often not received well. It is resented. It is said to cause a division among people. It is accused of instilling hatred and violence. But why? Why all the anger? Why all the accusations? Why the struggle against the Christian message of peace? It's because even the gospel, even the peace that only comes by way of Christ, even the kingdom of God that has come near and continues to come near, that peace inevitably reveals the true colors of every person ever conceived. In order to have gospel, there has to be law. his side immediately upon saying, "Peace be unto you," in the upper room on the morning of his resurrection, and the following Sunday morning as well. It's because it's his payment for sins, his making satisfaction, his full atonement that dealt with sin. He still says, "Peace be unto you," as he points to his glorious atoning scars when his word and sacraments continue to be delivered each and every week. No matter how much that is gospel, the good news of peace, pride-filled mankind cannot stand being exposed. For what does it expose? Sin. Sin had to be dealt with. To stare and to be fixed upon Christ is to acknowledge sin. Why do you think the world hates him? He exposes sin. And those who oppose it miss out on the forgiveness of their sins. St. Paul's second letter to Timothy is practical advice to a young preacher from a war-weary older preacher. He tells Timothy that in spite of all of his heartache, opposition, and abuse from both within and without the church, the preacher must keep his head down and do the work of an evangelist. He is to be always sober-minded. He is to endure suffering. That is how St. Timothy is to fulfill his ministry. St. Paul has been worn out and beaten down in the service of the kingdom. And to the king, he sees his own martyrdom coming, being poured out as a drink offering, and as his time of departure has come. And as the 72 were instructed, Paul was not to carry extra clothes or money. He was not to become comfortable in this fallen world. He remained ever ready to be sent where and when the Lord wanted him to go. He endured sorrowful desertions from both the lay people under his care as well as his fellow pastors of the word. St. Paul warns Timothy to be wary about troublemakers who oppose the preaching of Christ crucified. And he bluntly confesses to St. Timothy what kinds of heartache the work of an evangelist can be expected to bring. And yet, in spite of all of the opposition and strife, the good news is that the good news is still the good news. It is still being proclaimed. People are still being brought to faith. Sinners are still being saved. Preachers are still being sent. The world is still having the proclamation of peace preached to them in season and out. To preach Christ crucified and the peace that only comes by faith in his way continues to take place. Thanks be to God. The gospel, even when it is opposed, is the means the Lord himself has chosen to usher in eternity, the kingdom of God, the restoration of paradise, and the overturning message of the cross, the message of Christ crucified, which inevitably leads to his resurrection, is the way of peace that God has established. That peace of which St. Luke was an inspired writer brings forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And by the grace of God, it is received by faith alone. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, says the prophet Isaiah. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The Lord is promising a return to Eden, an eternal paradise in which you who believe and are baptized, you the unworthy who by faith alone have been justified and credited with righteousness, will live forever, just as you were always intended to do. Although there must be law that precedes it, that dying and rising, that, dear Christians, is the gospel. That is the good news of Christ crucified, Christ finishing the atonement for sins for you. That is the proclamation. It's the proclamation of Holy Isaiah and John the Baptist. It's St. Luke's proclamation. It's Saints Paul and Timothy's proclamation. It's the proclamation of the 72, and above all, it's the Blessed Lord's proclamation. Armed with St. Luke's Gospel and the rest of God's Holy Scripture, the Church continues to preach, to proclaim, to herald the kingdom of peace through Christ crucified and risen. United with preachers of every time and place, preachers today proclaim this good news, proclaiming Christ's unlimited atoning merits from baptismal fonts, from sanctuary chancels, from lecterns, from pulpits, from rails. It's further proclaimed in family devotions, in mealtime prayers, in grand cathedrals, in small rural congregations, and in tiny underground cells. Just as Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, the gospel of Christ making satisfaction for the forgiveness of your sins is proclaimed far and wide to the ends of the earth, even as each passing day brings you one day closer to the gospel's fulfillment, one day closer of bringing you into God's kingdom through the way God has made for you by grace alone, because of the atoning merits of Christ alone, by faith alone. On the day of your Lord Jesus Christ's return. So with Holy Isaiah, with John the Baptist, with St. Luke and Saints Paul and Timothy and the rest of the heavenly host, with all of those who, by the grace of God, are brought to repentance and belief, the Church believes, teaches, and confesses Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, to him be the glory forever and ever. Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.